Now it's time for another travel slot here on Morning Focus and Travel Tales with Fergal. This time, Fergal has just returned from the Camino and I'm sure he has many tales to tell us. Good morning to you, Fergal.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I am not too bad. So how did the boy from Ennis get on in the Camino?
It was very good, I have to say. I've slept a good bit since I came home, recovering after all the walking. But yeah, it was amazing. I would call it a trip of a lifetime, actually. Really was spectacular. And I actually did sort of a best of. So basically, I started on the border with France, went all the way over to Santiago over 11 days. And kind of went through each region and got a few days in each region, where normally that would take people, I suppose, 30 to 35 days if they walked the whole thing. I started, as I said, on the French border in a place called Roncesvalles, and I saw a sign there outside the place I was staying, said Santiago 790. So that's a lot of k's to be walking. I'd say it's very daunting for people. And where I was actually on the Spanish side of the border. I flew in with Aer Lingus into Bilbao and went to there. But a lot of people would fly to Biarritz and go to Saint-Jean on the French side of the Pyrenees, and they walk over the Pyrenees to the place where I was staying. So that I would recommend that, actually. That would be a great way to start the walk. It's called the French Way, the one that I was on. And that would be spectacular to go over the Pyrenees, and then you walk all the way to Santiago. So really spectacular, I have to say.
That sounds absolutely fantastic. And if you don't mind me saying, you got a great colour.
Yeah, I did.
Very brown.
My last day in Santiago, it was 27 degrees. And that city is kind of built on granite. And the famous cathedral in Santiago, they do a great tour on the roof. And the roof, they've got kind of concrete on the roof, so that people originally it was so soldiers could be on lookout for people, but now they do tours on the roof. So that was like, you know, and as usual, I just said my usual trick the last day of the holiday, not put on the sunscreen. Yeah, but it was brilliant, I have to say. And the weather was great the whole time. Over the 11 days, it was only one day where it was raining a little bit in the morning, but otherwise it was beautiful weather. And I was asking people and they were sort of saying that that's normal for this time of year, not the 27 degrees, but, you know, normally it'd be 16 degrees or 17 or 18. So this time of year, September, even into October, would be the perfect for Irish people, would be the perfect time. One, for the weather, and two, it would be much quieter at this time of year. Or the other time to go would be to go in March or maybe April, May, even into June. And then in July and August, it's peak season for tours, particularly, say, people in Europe or Spanish people, and also the heat. And as I said, you're going through four regions, and one of them is Castilla y León, and it's called the Masata. And that's the kind of the image that I had of Spain, you know, those open plains for as far as you can see off into the distance. And that could go to 40, you know, in the summer. And there is this much cover there as well. So really, I would say early in the season or September into October would be perfect time to be walking.
Fergal, you mentioned it's 790 kilometres from Roncesvalles to Santiago. To do that full Camino would take just over a month, 35 days walking about 25 kilometres a day. Do a lot of people who do the Camino do the full thing? Because that seems like quite a commitment, just even in terms of taking time off work. You said you did 11 days. Is that more common?
You know what? It is common. And a lot of the people that I met on the walk, especially around this time of year, I would guess a lot of them are retired. Like I met an Irish guy who was a teacher in Malaysia, and he said to me, you know, he couldn't figure out whether he was in between jobs or retired because he was finished in Malaysia with COVID. But he was walking to Santiago, and then he said he'd have a think, but he was thinking of then going down the Portuguese way, going down to Lisbon. So he had loads of time. So there's lots of people with time, and I know loads of people that take the time off. But I would recommend, you know, you could do a really good, you could do it over a couple of years and take a week and do each region for a week. So that first area where I was, you could start in Saint-Jean, go over the Pyrenees into Navarre, say to Pamplona, around that area, and you'd have a brilliant week. and each region is very different. And actually then the next one is Rioja. Rioja is only 65 k's on the actual Camino. So you could combine Rioja with Castilla y León, and then you could do Galicia. And Galicia, they call it the green Spain, and it's very similar to Ireland in a way. It's very green and they've got stone walls. So you could do three trips, you know, break it down over that, and that would make, and I know people that have done that. So you don't have to do it all in one go. You can go and come back, or you could do like I did, which was a best of, where you did a few days in each region, and then you get like a bus can bring you. And there's loads of variety for the trips. So you've got the pilgrims that are bringing their own gear and walking, say 25 Ks every day. But then you have other people who are on holiday, and there's so many services. So, you know, bags can be brought. They've services where your bag can be brought from hotel to hotel. So you can just have a little day pack, or you can stay in nice hotels, or you can, you know, the price ranges, the public hostels where a lot of the pilgrims stay are just like, say, 5 to 7 euros to stay in dorm rooms. Or you can stay in guest houses, or you can then stay in hotels, up to 5-star hotels, the famous Parador hotels that are owned by the Spanish government. There's some of them along the route, like there's one in Lyon, and there's Gord's one San Domingo in Rioja region, which was amazing. And then there's a very famous one in Santiago at the very end. And it's right beside the church. It used to be the Royal Hospital, and now it's a 5-star hotel, and the rooms are like, I had a cup of coffee there. And the rooms are like 300 to 1200 for a night. Wow. And they are nearly sold out for all of next year, which is amazing.
Even but then those right prices. Beside that,
yeah. But right beside that hotel, there's also another old hospital that is now a hostel, and that's where pilgrims stay, and it is absolutely beautiful as well. And you'd stay in rooms there for like 10 euros. So there's great variety for how you want to do it. Or I would recommend to mix and match and maybe have some got beforehand if you're going on a trip. But if possible, I would read the way I'm going to definitely go back and do more of it. And the way I would do it would be not have anything booked, and you just walk, because you'd walk past these little villages, or even like a hamlet with like three houses, but you'd find this gorgeous little guest house that, you know, that you could just stop for the day and stay. So I'd recommend leaving some of it open to be able to go to those sort of places, you know. So it really is spectacular.
What did you do, Fergal, in terms of accommodation across the 11 days? Did you mix and match or stick with one particular type of accommodation?
Do you know what? I was mostly hotels, actually. So that was lovely.
Rest the feet up.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? It was lovely. But I didn't kind of, what I missed then by doing that is, you know, I talked to some people, you know, as I was walking each day. But I think if you stayed more in the public hostels or in guest houses, that you would get to meet more people. And that is kind of part of the Camino, is meeting other people and talking to them and getting their stories. Because everybody who goes on the Camino, you know, they say they're looking for something or they have a story. And I met people who knew people who got married on the Camino. I was talking to someone the other day who walked with a group, and eight of that group ended up getting married, which was quite amazing. So people meet, you know, so there's all, you know, like I was talking to a guy one day who was Polish, and he was zipping past me, and he had been walking from Krakow in Poland over months. Or another day, someone else who'd been walking from northern Germany. And actually on the last day, what I loved, and I'd love to do it again, is in Santiago, the main square, all the pilgrims arrive in and people are breaking into song and people are hugging each other or just lying on the ground looking up at the cathedral. And I walked past a German woman, and she was talking to a guy, and she said, you know, I'm happiest now when I'm walking and I don't know what to do now. And she was thinking of, you can go on to another place, onto the sea, which was what some people do, which is another 5 days. So she was planning to go walking again for another 5 days. So, you know, it's amazing to be able to see that. And I would say to people, even people aren't into walking, I wouldn't have thought of this before, but I flew out of Aer Lingus, out of Santiago, just to go to Santiago would be a great weekend, because it's a gorgeous medieval city, you know, with amazing medieval buildings and churches. And then the Galician food, it's all about shellfish and seafood. So the food is amazing there. So I would recommend that. as just to go there for a weekend away, even if you weren't into walking. So really is spectacular, all that, you know.
The way you describe it there, Fergal, it sounds great, meeting so many different people from so many different countries and hearing so many different perspectives and stories and experiences. Is it, you know, across your 11 days there, can it be quite busy in terms of traffic, of the amount of people out walking, or does, are there ebbs and flows? Can it be parts where you don't meet anyone for, you know, an hour or whatever?
Exactly. So say for this time of year, it was, you know, you would say it was quiet. You just bump into a few people as you were going along. But just to put things in perspective, you know, like in 2019, up to 1 million people walked it on all the different routes. There's the French route and the Portuguese route and the Northern route and the English route. So up to 1 million people walked it. But next year, 2022, is the holy year, and they're saying there could be up to 5 to 7 million. So it'd be very busy next year. So you really wouldn't want to be walking in a high season there. And they did say that it can get quite busy. So in the, you know, really it's Galicia. So there are a lot of people that would walk the last 100 Ks. They would just do that over 5 or 6 days into Santiago. So that would be the busiest leg of the route. But, you know, in Navarra at the start, or particularly say Rioja and Castilla y León, you know, you would see very few people, you know, but it is nice to see people as well. And there was loads of people walking on their own. So there was lots of women walking on their own and people, you know, so it's very safe as well. So I would recommend that really to do it out of season, if at all possible. You know, so, you know, and you get such variety. So the beauty of it is that there's four different regions. And I said Navarre, then the Rioja going through the vineyards area, then Castilla y León, the Masada, which is a big, long plain. And then you go into Galicia and it's completely different. And not only is the landscape different, but the people are all the different regions are very different. And then the towns and the architecture is completely different. And I'm actually going to go into more detail again next week, just to talk to you about my highlights about the different towns and places like that, because there's so much to talk about. So and if people have questions, they maybe might write into, or, you know, send in a message to you if they have any questions about it, about recommendations about where to go and things like that. So, and about the history as well, because I'll talk about more about that next week. But I'm a big fan. I mentioned to you before about Tomar, and I went about the Templars, and that's a huge part of the history there. So I want to talk more about that as well.
Brilliant. I'm looking forward to that, because I think everywhere you've been so far, and, you know, when you were in Portugal, we're talking about the history that was there. And I don't even think you have to be a real history buff to appreciate that countries like Portugal and Spain have such interesting and long histories and great architecture, that there's a lot to admire and see about these places.
Exactly. And I mean, it was particularly on the Camino. I didn't realize that until I went on it, because I was always focused on the walking part of it. So then when I went there, I just couldn't believe it, because each village you're going through, there's these medieval villages, and, you know, a lot of it is from the 12th century. And, you know, there's great history there with when the kings were basically moving the Moors out of order in Spain, and following them were the Templar Knights that were setting up churches to protect the pilgrims. So there's, you know, as each village you go into, it has different history, and the particular, and then the regions were fighting against each other. So there's different histories about that. And I had different guides for each region. And it was amazing, because they were so passionate about their own area. And just saying Navarre, they were saying about how they collect their own taxes historically because they protected the Moors, stopping them from going into the rest of Europe. But then when I went into Rioja were saying about how the French went into Rioja through Navarre, and Navarre helped them. And, you know, so like if these different regions trashing each other, you know, it added to the thing, you know. So it was spectacular. And it really brings the whole thing alive as well, going through each town. And not only then is the history, but then, say, with the guides, it's the whole sort of the history of religion and about Catholicism, the mystical side of it. And then, for instance, you know, you go to Santiago, but then a lot of people go to the sea for another 5 days. And that was before pagan times, because it was the sea and the west coast and the sun that they worship. So that's why they went there. So there's a lot of pre-Christian history as well. So it really brings everything alive as you're walking, which really, I think, is the reason why it's so spectacular and so popular.
When you mention Rioja, people will know that region for one thing, the vineyards. Did you take an opportunity to sample its wares?
I did, actually. I think I mentioned it before I went, that when I was in Rioja, I actually did horseback, and I went through a couple of vineyards on horseback, and that was a great experience. It was great. It was lovely. So Navarrete is this beautiful little hill village, which was in the distance, and I was just plodding along on horses and going through vineyards. Which really was spectacular. And then obviously I had to sample the wares. Then that night I was staying in a hotel near there, and that was gorgeous. You know, I always say the wine always tastes better where it's made, you know, and doesn't that never taste as well in Ireland?
They keep the grade A stuff for themselves.
Exactly. And I noticed that with the fruit as well, actually. Went to get fruit in the supermarket, and the nectarines were the size of oranges. And we were going, yeah, I think they kind of keep the fruit. And actually went to a market in Santiago on my last day. And that, you know, and that was like a huge market with fruit, and you know, it was a meat section and a fish section. And that was spectacular. I always loved that. Like, you go to a market in a town, you kind of see how a place lives looking at their food. So that was really spectacular, I have to say, you know, really was.
It sounds like, in terms of the people, the places to stay, the food and things like that on offer, Fergal, it's all top notch, because I mean the Camino is clearly the big focal point of tourism in that 790-odd kilometer stretch. So given the numbers, the millions you mentioned who do the Camino, the locals in all those different regions are very aware that they need to put their best foot forward and really look after people during their time there, be it 11 days or the full 35.
Exactly. And I was really aware of that. That's what I was saying, that I had like a different guide for each region. And one, they're so proud of it, but also it's so crucial to the tourism of the region and for the country. I mean, the Camino is huge now, and it's growing. And that's something that I'm always talking about. Like, just say Ireland has got great potential for outdoor tourism and for walking and things like that. And we're starting to do pilgrim trails. There's one in Tipperary now called St. Declan's Way, which just started a few weeks ago. And they've seen that in, you know, it's interesting because in a way they started it in the 12th century properly. They discovered the remains of St. James in the 9th century, but then with the Moors, it really got going the 12th. So they've been doing this kind of marketing the Camino since the 12th century, but they're very good at it. And every little village you go into, they have like a pilgrim meal. So for say you go there for lunch, like €12, you get 3-course meal. So the prices are really good. And if you want to go, I mean, I ate one night in a Michelin star restaurant, and that was gorgeous. The pilgrim meals are amazing, because you really get to see the local food. Like in Galicia, they're big into octopus and shellfish and things like that, whereas in the middle it was like lamb and pork chops. But that kind of adds to it, and very reasonable. So they have to feed the pilgrims, and they love their area, and they're very proud of their area, and the offering, you know, the prices are very keen. So you know, I can see it's growing, like particularly in Galicia. I really notice that you're going through these little hamlets where nearly every building, you know, like going to a country town in Ireland, but now every one of them is like a little hostel or a little guest house. So it's huge for them. Like, imagine the numbers next year. Like, they're talking 5 to, I don't know how they'll fit them, but 5 to 7 million next year. So it's growing, but it's lovely to see it in the mid, like particularly in the Masada, which is Castilla y León, which is, you know, really poor region in Spain. So each of these little villages that you go through, you know, all the main thing now is tourism, and it's these pilgrims going through. So they're very welcoming, I have to say, and they have great tradition of it, you know, so they're well used to it.
In terms of flying in and flying out, was it easy enough, Fergal? I know you mentioned when you went to Portugal, we asked you, you know, just in terms of COVID elements, was it easy getting in and out of the airport? And you mentioned that it was surprisingly easy. Did you experience similar ease of access and getting through this time?
Yeah, like, and do you know what? It reminded me, like, so I flew into Bilbao, and it reminded me that really, if you ever can, it's always good, like, say, flying out of Shannon or flying into somewhere like Bilbao, where you literally, you might be the only plane landing at that time. So you're in and out, and it's so easy. So it's a really good thing to, if you can, to go to these regional airports. And it reminded me, you know, how great having Shannon is, that, you know, so easy to get in. But yeah, it was so easy. And the flight then leaving Santiago, that was the last flight with Aer Lingus for the season. So the season then will start again next year. So we were like on the last flight out. So that was busy because I suppose it was the last flight out. So there was a lot of Irish people on it. But so easy. Yeah, it was so easy. And, you know, I don't have some imagination, but the staff in the airports, my experience now from Portugal and Spain is they're very friendly and really, you know, because they know people are probably a bit nervous. So they're really good about getting people through and being very friendly and nice. So that was great, you know. So, and also, you know, I would recommend if people were doing it at the start, they can fly to Brits as well. That would be another spot that they could go to for the new season. But I'd really recommend it. Even to do sections, you know, pick Navarre or go to Galicia and then do the last few days. And, you know, people really get a great experience because there is a certain atmosphere on the walk as well that everybody's sort of contemplating. You know, I've always said that walking, you know, it clears your brain. And it's a lovely, lovely way to do it, you know, or you get to know. I mean, I was walking with two people I'd never met before. One was a journalist, an author, John Connell, who's written a few books, and got to know him very well. And Catherine Murphy, who's another travel journalist. And you really get to know people really well, I have to say, on the walk. You know, it's great experience, you know.
It sounds absolutely brilliant. And I'm looking forward to hearing more about it next time you're with us, particularly the history element of it. I guess, Fergal, just to mention as well, a new season of the Travel Tales with Fergal podcast up and running today.
Exactly. So basically my first episode of season 3 will be out next week with Reginald D. Hunter, and that will be going up on the Clare FM website. And this week is a bonus episode just to get it going. And basically that was a live interview I did during the summer during the Clamel Junction Festival with the author Louise Nealon. And anybody who's interested in writing, it was all about writing, the writing process, because she went from getting a book deal to getting her book published to going to number one. Snowflake was the book in the Irish charts all in 1 year. So anyone who's interested in writing or anything like that, they'll enjoy that. And that's Travel Tales with Fergal podcast. It's on all podcasting platforms.
Fantastic. I'd encourage people to check that out. As you say, there'll be a link to it. It'll be up on our website as well. Fergal, thanks for joining us as ever, and looking forward to our next chat.
Exactly. Thank you very much.